Nashville Sports Network. Let's talk racing. This is Chasing Checkers with Chase McKay.
Checkered flag is in the air.
Oh, yeah! Woo!
Racing lives here. Your sports live here.
All right, boys, let's do this.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Green flag is flying in the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania.
Denny Hamlin comes off turn three and sees the green and white checkered flag. He will win the opening stage of today's race.
Trouble turn two. One car hard to the outside. Wallace, Bubba Wallace. Brad Keselowski, the race leader, is pitting right now with pit road closed. Everybody stays out.
Alex Bowman takes away the race lead from Logano, and he is pulled away.
Trouble off turn number two. A couple of cars spin. Kyle Busch is one of them.
Chase Briscoe will win stage two of today's race.
Whatever Briscoe does, Buescher does in lockstep, and he maintains that three-car length deficit.
One car spins coming off of turn number one. It is Shane Van Gisbergen.
The sun setting behind him, the wind at his back, the checkered flag is in the air. Chase Briscoe wins at Pocono. He takes the Great American Getaway 400.
And that's how it sounded on the Motor Racing Network. Welcome in to Chase Checkers here on 102.5 The Game. It is presented by the Bruschetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix, which is coming your way to the Nashville Super Speedway August 30th through the 31st, and we certainly look forward to that. We're going to talk a little bit more about some IndyCar later on in the show, but we start, as we always do, with NASCAR at Pocono, the Tricky Triangle, and it was Chase Briscoe getting the victory, his first of the year, his first with Joe Gibbs Racing. Third career win, and what a run it was for Chase Briscoe, leading 72 laps on the day of the 160. Denny Hamlin, his teammate, finished second. Hamlin was certainly a car to beat. Everybody thought that he was going to come into Pocono, a place that he had been very, very good at. He's won a lot in his career, that he would go in there and get the victory there, but it would be another Joe Gibbs Racing driver, his teammate Chase Briscoe, getting it done. And I think this was a huge confidence boost for that 19 team, a huge confidence boost for Chase Briscoe to get the victory, because we've seen him start on the pole. He did it here at the Nashville Super Speedway. You know, I talked to him that weekend, and he felt like they were really close to getting to victory lane. He was feeling really good about his team, about the effort that they were putting forth, and now they finally get rewarded for those things and the hard work by getting the victory. And now, as they go into the summer months, what does that do for such a talented race car driver like Chase Briscoe? But this is what he said in his post-race availability. Talked about his teammate Denny Hamlin really getting close on him and having to hold off Hamlin down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, out of anybody you could have behind you here, at least Denny's the last kind of guy you want, just because he's so experienced and so skilled. You know, he makes speed here where other guys can't. And honestly, I wasn't crazy nervous, just because I was honestly going so slow. Like, I was so backed up, but I was still driving away. So, you know, honestly, it would have been probably harder if I was on the ragged edge. The biggest thing for me was I just didn't want him to get close enough to where, like, he could make somewhat of a move on me, especially with how much I was having to lift into the corners. I just didn't want him to be able to, like, drive in deeper. But, yeah, it was definitely surprising to me on it, just how I was able to kind of drive away. So definitely felt like I learned something.
What I am learning about Chase Briscoe, based on some of the comments that he's made and also based on just watching him work, watching him do what he does, is, and you know, it's nothing, and he kind of talked about this in the press conference a little bit. It's no disrespect, Matt, to the former Stuart Haas Racing, but it just shows you how much better equipment he's in with Joe Gibbs, that he has, you know, those cars that, you know, maybe you're doing things that he's not used to, and now getting that opportunity to compete week in and week out like he is with Joe Gibbs Racing. Plus, he's being surrounded by championship-winning talent. Denny Hamlin's got three wins. Christopher Bell's got three wins this year. You know, Ty Gibbs still hasn't gotten to victory lane, but you know, but they're all competitive. They're all there week in and week out, and that's what Chase Briscoe, you know, is kind of having to deal with. And what was interesting is when you hear these comments is that there is such an expectation in that shop to win these races that it's a little bit intimidating at times. It puts extra pressure on the driver, but now you're kind of starting to see him deal with it. And this is what he was talking about with that expectation to win at JGR.
It's definitely way different. You know, just the expectation is so much higher. And like, even, you know, I've only won 3 races in the Cup Series, right? But this is by far the least enjoyable, just because it's expected now. Like, you have to go win. Where at SHR, I feel like you really felt like you kind of like surprised the world when you won. Where with JGR, their cars are capable week in and week out. So certainly the expectation is different. And yeah, I mean, it's definitely more work, but it's because they are at such a high level. So yeah, it's been an adjustment for me. You know, even just racing with teammates that are winning has been an adjustment for me. So yeah, it's definitely been a big learning curve. But it's one that I've really enjoyed. You know, it's crazy just, you know, truthfully, now looking back on it, what I was racing against every single weekend, like, it's mind blowing. Just how the cars drive, you know, the preparation leading into the week, you know, nothing against, you know, SHR, just now being inside the walls of JGR, it's just mind blowing, just the level that they do it at. So yeah, it's been, you know, a lot of fun for me to kind of be the guy now that gets to, you know, drive one of these cars, just because the performance is so good.
I used that confidence word earlier, and I feel like you could just hear it in his voice that he's getting to that point where he has more confidence than he ever had before. Like, he was talking about with Stuart Haas Racing that, you know, sometimes it was just kind of a surprise when they would win. Now, when Harvick was there, you know, Harvick was winning at a pretty high clip. Tony Stewart did too. I mean, it's not like they didn't win races at Stuart Haas, but it just shows you kind of where the expectations are, how different they are at JGR, Joe Gibbs Racing. And that's put Briscoe, you know, put extra pressure on Briscoe, because there were people that were kind of like, why is he, you know, why'd he get this ride? And then, but it's also at the same time, he's showing people why he got that ride, because he's that good. He is a talented race car driver. So Briscoe gets the win. He started 6th. Denny Hamlin was on the pole. He's 2nd. Then Ryan Blaney, Chris Buescher, Chase Elliott, another top 5. Again, continue to watch out for him. John Hunter Nemechek, a nice run in the 42 in 6th. Kyle Larson, Ryan Preece, Brad Keselowski, and Austin Cindric is the top 10. Here's what's kind of funny about this with Chase Briscoe. Today is June 25th. It was a year ago today that Briscoe was announced as the new driver of the 19, replacing Martin Truex Jr., who is retiring from full-time competition. He got asked about that. It, like, you could tell how much of a whirlwind it's been in the past year.
Yeah, definitely, you know, it is validating for sure. You know, I didn't realize it was a year ago. I knew it was around this time, but I mean, just the, you know, I've read the internet, right? Like, people are like, why would they put that guy in it? Or, you know, even when I won the 3 poles in a row and we're not winning the race, you know, people are trashing you and stuff. But I knew that we were more than capable, and I knew myself that I was capable, but you never really know until you go do it, right? And for us to be able to come here, it's certainly, you know, nice just to get that monkey off your back. And just, I can't thank, you know, Coach and Johnny Morris and Toyota enough. I mean, there was a lot of people that they could have put in this car, right? It was the most sought after seat in off season. And for me to be able to be the one blessed enough and lucky enough to get it, is great. But you with that, you have to prove yourself in it. And for me to be able to come here now and win, you know, it doesn't mean I'm guaranteed in it for a while, but it certainly is nice to know that I can do it at this level in this equipment. And hopefully, you know, I can be here my entire career, because the sky certainly feels like it's the limit here.
I feel like it's just another example of someone that, they showed you some promise with their first ride. They go to their second ride and it really takes off. You know, we saw that with Joey Logano when he ironically left Gibbs and went to Penske. We saw it, you know, with Carl Edwards too. I mean, obviously he did a lot of winning at Roush, but it feels like it went to another level when he went to Gibbs, Martin Truex Jr., when he went to Furniture Row, and then subsequently Gibbs. So on and so forth. So it definitely, you know, happens that way. And obviously Chase Briscoe, somebody that's been on this show quite a bit. We've dealt with him a lot over the years. He is a super cool guy, and deserves all the success in the world. So really, really neat to see that play out and work out for Chase Briscoe. How about this? We talked about it a little bit last week on the show, but Dale Earnhardt Jr. Ends up crew chiefing for Connor Zilich and gets the win as a crew chief. Now, you know, I don't know how much he did necessarily. Obviously, he has a really good team behind him, and he's praised them and said that about them, but he ends up getting the W, and that was pretty cool. Here was Dale Earnhardt Jr. talking about getting the win as a crew chief.
Well, the winning as a driver is a thrill. You play in a quarterback position, you know, a captain of the team, if you will. Crew chief role is similar, but certainly more of an adrenaline rush than being an owner. I love owning race cars, and I love racking up statistics and championships, but it does not have the competitive sort of skin in the game, if you will, that the specific day does. Like, you know, when you're in the car, it's on you to make sure you're doing everything right. And when you're the crew chief, you're under a ton of pressure. I understand that I did not come in here and handle all of the layers that Marty usually handles or any given crew chief manages. They certainly were putting me in a position to do some light lifting. As the race went on, we got more comfortable and more aggressive, and it was fun. Felt like I really had some involvement, some input in the energy that the crew had, the team, the overall guys, and keeping them pumped up and keeping everybody executing, keeping Connor aware of what our goals were and what our expectations were on these restarts. He wanted to deliver on all of those expectations, and so I felt like, you know, in that aspect, it was a good day, and we had a strategy really go our way. Of course, it would have played out really good if it stayed green, but that caution falling the way it did, we're still getting the track position that we wanted. And so this was a lot of fun. I have a ton of respect, admiration for all of the crew chiefs and the role that they play and the stress that they put up with. They to do this week in and week out is extremely tough, and you know, it takes a long process, I think, to work yourself into a position to be able to get that role and get that opportunity at the cup level. And I really have a new appreciation and a new level of respect and understanding, I suppose, of the tough calls and decisions they have to make, and they have to be right. And I don't know that they get as much grace as the drivers do when they make a wrong decision, right? So a lot of pressure on the crew chief. And so, but it was a cool experience for me.
And again, that's Dale Earnhardt Jr. Pretty cool to be able to say you've won as a driver, an owner, and now as a crew chief in your career. So, pretty cool there. Coming up next, we're going to change. I was trying not to say shift gears, and I pretty much just did it. But we're going to do that. We're going to talk a little Fairgrounds Racing with our man Anthony Tate. He's in studio with us to talk about what's going on at the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway coming up this weekend. We will do that next as you listen to Chasing Checkers, presented by the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix here on 102.5 The Game.
You're listening to Chasing Checkers on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Back here on Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Wednesday. You know we like talking local racing out at the Nashville Fairgrounds, and the general manager of the Fairgrounds Speedway, Anthony Tate, is in studio with us. You got a busy weekend, my friend. Doubleheader this weekend, Friday and Saturday night, on that beautiful track down here in downtown Nashville.
Well, first, appreciate you having us, Chase. And yes, it's a busy weekend we got coming up. We've had a lot of rain this year so far, so we want to do the best we can, not only for our fans and drivers. So the opportunity presented to have a doubleheader on Friday night with our quarter mile special. Got a lot going on Friday with practice for the late models leading into Saturday, our Pro Late Model 100, and the return of the Super Truck. So a lot of great things going on, a lot of really good momentum. We're coming off of, obviously, like I said, that rain, but our drivers are excited, fans are excited, team's excited. So we're looking forward to some good weather for a change.
So obviously both nights are going to provide
a lot of racing, a lot of fun for fans. The quarter mile, if you've never seen quarter mile racing, especially at the Nashville Fairgrounds, you got to check this out because, you know, whether it's a Legends car or what have you, it is entertaining.
It really is. From the Legends, Bandoleros, those young guys and gals who are trying to make their name for themselves, you know, local racing, trying to get up through the ranks. But then also, you know, a lot of these guys are hometown, born and raised in Nashville, outskirts of Nashville area. And it's really exciting, the beating and banging that they provide for the fans. You know, there's a couple rivalries out there right now, but we're hoping that everyone can play nicely. But obviously, we want to get on our feet and cheer for everybody. But the limited late model guys, they're biting at the bit to get out there. And so are our pure stock drivers. These guys are, you know, a lot of them are guys who are in the garages turning wrenches, turning, you know, plumbers, electricians. So it's really exciting for them to come on out, for our fans to cheer them on. But yeah, it's I'm excited.
Anthony Tate is with us, GM of the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. You can get your tickets simply by going to NashvilleFairgroundsSpeedway.racing or just walk up to the box office Friday or Saturday, correct?
Correct, yep. So for Friday night, a couple weeks ago, we had a reschedule. It didn't work out. We're honoring $10 tickets for everybody on Friday night, and that's online as well at Nashville Fairgrounds, Speedway.racing, and then also at the walk-up as well. So $10 tickets Friday night. And right now in advance for Saturday, they're just $12 online and $15 at the door. Family affordable fun. The food's good. The beer's cold. It's going to be great weather, so we're excited to have everybody out.
I'm curious about this because, you know, I've been there for years going to watching races. How quickly can you convert from having the quarter mile set up to the big track?
Yeah, it's really a testament to our team. We have a lot of great staff members who've been around the facility and have got it down to a science. And it takes roughly about 5 to 10 minutes to put the walls out, remove the walls. And really, you know, our goal at each and every time is to have as much action on the track as possible. We'll do some autograph sessions and pictures with the drivers here and there. And obviously, a pit pass gets you access to all of that. Go down into the pit area, walk around, meet your favorite driver, get a picture with the cars. If you've never been to a racing event, the sights and sounds are truly something that you just can't experience at a baseball game or a hockey or even an NBA game, and maybe even football. I'll throw that in there. But the interaction that you can truly have and with the drivers and teams and feel the cars, get the pictures with the cars is absolutely amazing. So get your pit pass, walk on through the garage area, and then be part of Victory Lane as well. So, but yeah, the team has it down to a science converting that, and it's truly a testament to those guys and their hard work.
You mentioned also Saturday night, the super trucks are making a comeback. First time I ever saw truck racing was at the fairgrounds and, you know, it's similar to what you see in the Craftsman Truck Series,
it is.
But I mean, like it's really cool to see it at this level.
It is. It's you know, when I remember growing up, and even a couple of years ago, I was down in Florida and the super trucks ran, and I texted Matt Crafton and I said, "Hey, have you ever done this, you know, on a short track with these trucks?" And he's like, "It's something that you just have to experience." So to have the super trucks back at Nashville in 2025, we're trying to see that class grow a little bit more, but we're really excited to see them go out there, put on a great show for all of our fans who are going to be out there with us.
I know you've been around this sport for a long time, but how fun has it been from your perspective in this job to see racers from all over that want to come compete at the fairgrounds because of the history there?
Yeah, I've had multiple calls this week. Our next event coming up after this weekend is July 12th, and I've already took a number of calls from drivers in Georgia who have just said, "Hey, we want to come try it. We haven't done it yet. We want to come out." Personally, it's very rewarding. A lot of these guys and even gals who come out there, first and foremost, it's a family sport. You know
sure.
that.
Sure. Yeah.
It's a family sport. And just the camaraderie in the pit area. Everyone wants to support each other. Everyone wants to see everyone succeed. And so, but being Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway and the history that comes with that, it's really a great opportunity for someone who hasn't, you know, come to Nashville in a long time. Maybe their dad or grandfather or, you know, maybe mom grew up at the track. And now to have these younger adults and come from out of state to the area is really exciting. It's a really exciting time.
Of course, then you can get the full schedule for the Fairgrounds, Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway.racing. I know we got several months, but are you kind of preparing yourself mentally for the All-American 400 yeah. coming up in November?
Yeah,
because it's such a historic race.
We're so excited for it. We were having a phone call about it earlier this morning. And the preparations are a year-long preparations, but 3 days of action-packed racing, November 7th, 8th, and 9th, to end the Appalachian Sucker Punch ASA Stars Tour season and crown a champion in Nashville is truly an exciting time. But, yeah, we're pumped. We're ready to go. We got a couple touches we still got to put together. But I think overall our fans are in for a treat. Our drivers are in for a treat as well. And we're going to do everything we can to make sure that you're out there as well.
Oh, yeah.
To take in some of the action. But, yeah, it's going to be a really exciting time.
It's one of those races, too, that you never know who might show up either. I've seen quite a few,
Absolutely.
Kyle Busch being one of them, that want to go run this thing.
Well, and I think the exciting time, too, and maybe for some of these, I know you were having a conversation with Ryan Blaney coming up before Atlanta,
yep.
but it's after Phoenix.
Uh-huh.
It's after Phoenix this year. So maybe we'll see some of those guys who still have an itch to compete and come on down to Nashville and hop in a super late model or two.
Well, and that's the cool part about, you know, the sport is they recognize, they being the top drivers in NASCAR, recognize the importance of tracks like Nashville that they want to lend their support however they can.
Yeah, and I think that's great. I read an article earlier today, or maybe it might have been yesterday, that Kyle Busch is going to go back and race this coming August in a couple races. You saw it just a few weeks ago. Chase Elliott participated in Charlotte at Hickory Motor Speedway, and even I think it was Kyle or Hosovar participated in a late model race a couple weeks ago in Michigan. So. Yeah, it's great. These guys, and even we had Josh Berry at Nashville
yeah.
Fairgrounds, you know, when NASCAR was in town. These guys are professionals. They understand that it is important to be involved in what all these tracks do across the country. It's not just Nashville Fairgrounds. There's hundreds of tracks that really appreciate their support, and fans appreciate it as well, I think, and they go out and support it.
It's going to be a busy weekend down in that area. Obviously, there's soccer going on Thursday night and then racing Friday and Saturday. Again, one more time, how can you get your tickets?
Yeah, appreciate it, Chase. Get your tickets by visiting Nashville fairgroundspeedway.racing. Again, tickets for Friday night are just $10. Gates are going to open at 5 p.m. Friday, and then Saturday for the Pro Late Model 100, Super Trucks and Street Stocks, and also the Quarter Mile. Tickets are just $12 in advance, $15 at the door. Kids 11 and under are free both nights. And like I said, the food's going to be good, the racing's going to be great, and the beer's going to be pretty cold.
And you mentioned the rivalries. Look, it might be a little toasty, so you never know what happens under
it
the
really
lights
would.
On a short
yep,
track.
Absolutely.
So definitely will be fun. Anthony, thanks so much for coming in. Good to talk to you, and we're looking forward to a great weekend of racing.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Chase.
Coming up next, we talk some Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix coming out to the Nashville Super Speedway. Ann Fishgrun, she is the president of the Music City Grand Prix, will join the show next. It's Chasing Checkers, 102.5 The Game.
This is Chasing Checkers. Your sports live here on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Wednesday, as always. And look, we are so excited. The Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix. It's coming up August 30th through 31st out at the Nashville Super Speedway. second year that the event will be back out there. And, you know, we needed to bring in an expert to talk about it. So we say hello to Ann Fishgren, who is the president of the Bruschetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix. Hello, Ann. How's it going?
Great. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm looking forward to the end of August. I know it's, I saw the countdown. I think it's 66 days away.
Well, it is. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. It's, it is coming up very quickly. The summer is flying by. But you're right. It is, August is just around the corner, and we can't wait to bring the NTC IndyCar Series back to Middle Tennessee at Nashville Super Speedway.
It was there last year, but this is your first year involved with this race. But you have a long history with IndyCar, correct?
Yes, exactly. I have worked for the series, the NTT IndyCar Series, for about the past 15 years, working in fan engagement, marketing, partnerships. I've been the general manager of the IndyCar race at Iowa Speedway the past 3 years, and now I can say that I have lived in Tennessee, and taking on this event for our company and our fans is definitely one for the record books.
I remember when I met you for the first time, we sat down and talked, and you know, we were talking about Mr. Penske and, you know, how he does things, and he doesn't do anything half, you know what, everything is the best of the best. So I know this is, you know, kind of looking at it year one of Penske Entertainment running the Music City Grand Prix. I have a feeling, though, it's going to be pretty spectacular when people walk into those gates in the grandstands at the Nashville Super Speedway and watch these cars hit the track.
You know what, Chase? Nashville Super Speedway has done such a great job keeping that property beautiful. We're excited to keep on the legacy in which the former promoters of this event have created. Scott Borchetta and the Big Machine team have done such an amazing job keeping this event active and exciting. And we're excited just to keep the reins going and see those cars at the track for the championship race for the NTT IndyCar Series.
You know, what we've seen, you mentioned bringing the legacy and keeping the legacy alive is there's a race. Obviously, people are going to watch the race, but there's so many other things that are going to be around it. And I know you're going to have more and more announcements as we get closer to the event, but what are some things that people can expect when they come out?
We're going to focus on the racing first and foremost, right? We are an NTT IndyCar Series and Indy Next by Firestone racing event. It is the championship event for both series, so finishing up their season that they've been traveling across the country for all year. We're excited to put that competition to the track and see them spectacular racing on that oval. So that's number one. Number two is we're going to have a great opportunity to engage with customers and fans in our free fan zone. So just outside the main gates there, so many opportunities for our sponsors and local companies to engage with our customers and our customers to engage with them throughout Saturday and Sunday. But you're right, everyone's going to be asking about driver opportunities, whether it's inside the paddock or in the free fan zone. You're potentially talking about music and how that plays a big part of this weekend. So absolutely more information to come, but know that we're quickly working on ways to keep our fans engaged all day long, Saturday and Sunday.
If it's funny, I love telling people because they'll ask me, okay, what's the big difference in going to like a NASCAR race or an IndyCar race? And my answer is always the speed. I mean, the cars are twice as heavy and they're twice as fast. And I mean, it's like the line of Days of Thunder. But if someone's never been to a NTT IndyCar Series race, what can they expect?
You're right. First and foremost is the speed. IndyCars race so well at such amazing speeds on ovals. Like, that is where they are going to shine and showcase. So if you have any form of adrenaline, come out and watch these guys go around this racetrack. Number two is the accessibility. IndyCar allows customers to purchase garage or paddock passes to get inside into the garages where the teams are working on the cars, the drivers are meeting with their crews, and customers can buy that pass to be in that exclusive area all weekend long. Additionally, with that same mindset of being accessible, IndyCar and the Indy Next by Firestone Series, we'll have free autograph sessions throughout the weekend in the fan zone. So, you know, it is first come, first serve. There is a time limit, but that time limit's an hour. We will get through as many customers as we possibly can to make sure that those drivers meet our customers, sign some autographs, take some photos. I think that's a big difference that you see from other major sporting leagues, including NASCAR, where we will have all the drivers sitting down for that 1 hour autograph session one day over the weekend. More details on our website to come once we finalize that timing with the series. But it is so cool to have that accessibility for either free, like I said, with the autograph session, and or that additional paddock pass to just enhance your race weekend experience.
MusicCityGP.com is the website. Now, I know you've seen it from afar, but you're really going to see it firsthand now. Just how beloved Joseph Newgarden is in our area. Being a Hendersonville native, he calls Nashville home. He still lives here. And I know that he's not had the season that he's obviously been looking for, but the way that the people of Nashville have embraced him and love him so much, I think is going to be really cool to see coming up in late August.
Absolutely. I think you'll see a little more coming out from Joseph Newgarden and how he's integrating himself into race weekend, making this really his race, his hometown event. But he is such a great advocate, not only for the series, but for the community. And you will absolutely see him taking advantage of being here race weekend and connecting with the community and our customers.
And I think the other thing that's really cool about being around the NTT IndyCar Series is, you know, it's not Joseph, we know, has a personality. If you don't believe him, just ask him. He'll tell you. But the other drivers do, too. The other drivers are so approachable. You were talking about the access that if somebody's coming to their first race and meeting these guys for the first time, they like to have fun just like everybody else.
Absolutely. They are always willing to stop inside the paddock or wherever they run into a fan, whether it's out downtown at night at a restaurant or walking Broadway or even, you know, I've seen customers or our race fans run into a driver in a hotel lobby and just sit down to end up having a 20-30 minute conversation. They are so approachable, so welcoming. We couldn't do what we do without those race fans, and the drivers feel the exact same way.
And I know everybody, at least it seems right now. Now, we've had a couple of different winners the last few races, but Alex Palou has been the man to beat this year.
It seems that Alex and Kyle Kirkwood have a nice little risk going on who can stack up the most wins this season. I'm excited to see what happens after a week break. They have the weekend off and head to Mid-Ohio next weekend, so we'll see what happens with the points and the wins, but you're right. Alex Palou is looking very fierce to get his next championship win.
Well, we're looking forward to it. And how can people get tickets?
You said it, MusicCityGP.com. We can't wait to see you at the racetrack.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And thanks so much for doing this evening. We appreciate it.
Of course. Have a great evening.
And that's Ann Fishgren, the president of the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix, coming to the Nashville Super Speedway August 30th through the 31st.
And again, get your tickets simply by going to MusicCityGP.com. Speaking of the NTT IndyCar Series, Alex Palou, I mean, I brought it up with Ann. This dude is unstoppable right now. He's got 9 starts on the year. There's been 9 races. He's won 6 of them, including the Indianapolis 500, but he also won this past weekend the XPEL Grand Prix at Road America, which is a really cool road course. I love Road America in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin. I kind of hope NASCAR can go back there too. Palou gets his 6th win of the year. He only led 6 laps of the 55, but was able to get it done and get yet another win after starting 2nd. Felix Rosenquist with another great run. He finished 2nd. Santino Ferrucci was 3rd, then Kyle Kirkwood, Marcus Armstrong, Kiffin Simpson, David Malukas, Nolan Siegel, Scott Dixon, and Rinus VK rounding out the top 10. Here was Alex Palou in victory lane. with IndyCar's Radio Network.
It was a wild day, man. We didn't have the best of our starts. Then we kind of made a good recovery on a couple of restarts there. The car was amazing all weekend, and I thought it looked amazing to have that solo red car out there. So, yeah, honestly, I owe everything to the team, the amazing strategy we did, the calls we made. It was on the limit, but the HRC allowed us also on fuel mileage to make it. So, yeah, super happy, super proud, and another win to the season. So couldn't ask for anything more this year.
What was going through your mind when those closing laps were going on? You were closing on Scott Dixon. Barry Wands were telling you to focus on the fuel number and trying to, I guess, was he trying to convince you that Dixon was a couple laps short?
We didn't know at the beginning, like the first couple of laps, so I was trying to catch him, to pass him. And you never know. If he catches a yellow and restarts on P1, it was going to be tough. So I was trying my best. You never know if we're going to make it or not. But, I'm super happy that we got the win today.
So, I mean, after his sixth win of the year, you look at where he's at point standing wise, 93-point lead over Kyle Kirkwood. Kirkwood has three wins. So, I mean, it has been Pelot or Kirkwood, and that's it. Pato O'Ward is third, Felix Rosenquist, then Scott Dixon, Christian Lundgaard, Will Power, Scott McLaughlin, and Santino Ferrucci, and Colton Herta is the top 10. Herta also has a pole on the year, but again, it's Kirkwood and Pelot are your only race winners. Our man that we were talking about, Joseph Newgarden, he's back 17th in points. It's just been a rough year for him. So hopefully Joseph can kind of turn things around here in the summer months and then come to Nashville and finish strong in the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix. So that would obviously be really cool to see. But we'll be talking a little more IndyCar as we go through the summer to get you ready for the Music City Grand Prix. MusicCityGP.com is where you can get those tickets. Coming up next here on this Wednesday night, we'll go back into NASCAR, get you set up for racing this weekend at Echo Park Speedway, formerly known as the Atlanta Motor Speedway. We'll do that coming up next here on Chasing Checkers 102.5, The Game.
Chasing Checkers is on The Game Nashville Sports Network.
It's been a little bit of an up and down year as far as just results for our group, but I feel like we've been doing a great job as a 12 team. And that's one of the biggest things I look at is how are we communicating with each other? How are we working together? You know, is that part going well? And how are we, you know, really doing those things? And I feel like that stuff's been great. And that's the biggest thing I kind of grade our team on is teamwork in general. And are we doing all the right things going into the weekend? Is our preparation all it can be before the weekend? Are we executing throughout the race on pit road and, you know, through practice and stuff like that? And I feel like that's been very good. And, you know, some misfortune kind of has hindered some finishes, but, you know, that's just kind of part of racing. So I feel like our group is doing great. It was nice to win, you know, a couple weeks ago in Nashville, finally get to victory lane. And So I've been proud of our efforts so far, and hopefully things can smooth out a little bit for us to where we can get a little bit more consistency.
And that's Ryan Blaney, the driver of the number 12 for Team Penske. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers, presented by the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix, August 30th through the 31st at the Nashville Super Speedway. Get your tickets by going to musiccitygp.com. NASCAR is back in Atlanta. Chase McCabe with you. NASCAR back in Atlanta at the Echo Park Speedway coming up this weekend. Under the lights Saturday night. Really looking forward to that. But that was Ryan Blaney kind of talking about his season. A little bit of an up and down, but they got the win here at the Nashville Super Speedway that put them in the playoffs. Currently sitting sixth in the points right now as you kind of look at the regular season standings. And, you know, I think he'll be somebody to watch Saturday night, which you can hear on 102.5 The Game, starting after a Major League Baseball around 6 o'clock will go. You won't miss the green flag, so you'll hear that on 102.5 The Game. But I think Blaney is certainly an interesting one and someone that I think that is going to continue to get a little bit better as the season goes on. He'll certainly be in contention once we get into the playoffs. He always is. He finds a way to be. So that is somebody in Atlanta, still a little bit of a wild card just because how it races, because it's, you know, certainly a kind of runs a little bit like a super speedway these days since the repave. And here is Cole Custer kind of talking about how it handles at Atlanta, because it can certainly be a little bit different.
The biggest thing is just the handling, you know, especially when we go back there for the summer race. I mean, it's just so hot that you really have way more handling involved than you do at like I say, Daytona or Talladega. So you still have the drafting aspect, but everybody's hanging on for dear life a little bit, you know? So the field gets a little bit more spread out just because you can't race as tight just because you have to worry about the handling. So it's definitely a different dynamic where you see a little bit of a mix of mile and a half and super speedway racing.
And I think that's kind of what makes it exciting, you know, if I'm being honest with you. I mean, I think that that's kind of fun when it comes to Atlanta, is you kind of have that mix of an intermediate mile and a half and then the draft of the super speedway, which gives it that unpredictability, which, you know, that's what we're kind of looking for. The entertainment value that is certainly there. And the intermediate racing has been so good with this car that just adds to it. So I certainly love that aspect of Atlanta. And as Cole mentioned, it's going to be hot. It's going to be sticky. You know, that's going to add to maybe the tempers a little bit. Guys making mistakes as they go around this place. And so that just is another element to look for. Josh Berry also commented on racing in Atlanta in the summer with MRN.
It's definitely coming into its own. Obviously, we had a really good race there earlier in the year, but the conditions are going to be a good bit different. It's obviously going to be much hotter. Handling is going to play a bigger factor. I think that'll separate the field maybe a little bit more than what we had earlier in the year. So it's going to be important to have track position. You obviously have the speed and qualifying to have the track position, but then have your car handling it good enough that you can maintain it. I think that'll be the big deal.
That was Josh Berry. So again, I'm looking forward to it. And like I mentioned, it is under the lights, which who doesn't love a night race, especially in the summer? I feel like that is something that the network should take advantage of. And by the way, Prime has already wrapped up their season. It'll shift to TNT. A lot of the same people on there, but they did a really nice job. I really liked the coverage of Prime. I thought that it was, you know, kind of a traditional telecast. I thought they had the right personalities. Adam Alexander is an ultimate pro. He's been doing this a long time. Having Letart and Dale Jr. back together, I thought was really good. Their pit reporters were good. Trevor Bayne did a nice job on pit road. So, you know, TNT, NBC, a tough act to follow, even though it was only five races. And then also, you know, this starts the in-season tournament that, you know, the bracket challenge or whatever they're calling it. In-season challenge. I'm sorry. I was trying to find the right way to word it. So this is round one, and then Chicago Street Course round two, Sonoma round three, Dover round four, and then the Champions round at Indy in the Brickyard 400. And so TNT has that for all their races, kind of gives something different with, you know, fantasy racing and betting and all those things in, you know, that you can do kind of this summer as we gear towards the playoffs. So I find it interesting. I think it's going to be cool. It's something new that they're trying, you know? So, I mean, all you can do is hope for the best. And I mean, look, if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out. But I think it's going to be kind of cool. So here's a quick look at some of the matchups you're going to get started this weekend. The number one overall seed, Denny Hamlin against Ty Dillon. So again, all Hamlin has to do is finish better than Ty. And that's how you move on. A 16 versus a 17, Kyle Busch versus Keselowski. That could be interesting. 8 versus 25, Alex Bowman, Joey Logano. So you have already right there a potential upset based on how this has all worked. Bubba Wallace, Daniel Suarez, 9 against 24. 12 against 21, ironically in the 21, Nemechek versus Josh Berry. A 5 against 28, Chase Elliott versus Austin Dillon. Ross Chastain's a 13 seed against Eric Jones in the 20 seed. Christopher Bell, 4 against 29, which is Ricky Stenhouse. So on and so forth. Some others, you got Briscoe versus Noah Gregson, 2 against 31. Priest against Byron could be an interesting matchup. Josevar, a lower seed, against Blaney, a 7 seed.
Larson against Reddick, 10 versus 23. McDowell versus Allmendinger. Gibbs versus Haley. Smith versus Cindric. And then Buescher versus Gilliland. I think this is going to add some entertainment to the already entertaining races. So you can check that out at NASCAR.com. They have the bracket, the in-season challenge. DraftKings is involved, so there's a betting element to it as well. So definitely something that I will be paying attention to as we go through these summer races and see if they got something there. See if it's a cool concept and what they might be able to do with it moving forward. But again, you can hear the race from Atlanta from Echo Park Speedway starting at 6 o'clock here on 102.5 The Game Saturday night under the lights. So do not forget that. IndyCar is off this week. They're back July 4th weekend, so we'll have that one for you. We got you covered with racing this summer. That is going to do it for our show tonight. My thanks to Anthony Tate from the Nashville Fairgrounds and Ann Fishgren from the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix. I keep wanting to say the big machine. For them for joining us here tonight and all of you for listening. You can check out the podcast. Just search for Chasing Checkers or go to thegamenashville.com. We're here every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Check out all of our podcasts at thegamenashville.com or find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and all other major podcast platforms.